Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac
Underpants.
Show, the Mac Show Underpants Summer Fun Edition. Those words all go together, and you know why? Because it's just all like a big bucket of fun. It's like a party. Yeah. This is actually how I start my Fridays, just having a party with all of you.
Yeah, it's like a party we have three times a week.
I thought you would say underpants.
Yeah, well,
that's how you start your Friday.
I guess if we mash it all together like that, it's like saying I start my Fridays with a party in my pants, which can be interpreted in many different ways, in a couple different ways. All right, so it's been great hosting, and I'll miss all of you now that I'll be gone from the show. Anyhow. Yeah, Ben is, yeah. All right. Anyhow, I'm Jeff Gamet. I was Jeff Gamet. I am Jeff Gamet. I guess I was your interim host up until a minute ago.
What is this, the end of 2001?
It's something like that. Yeah. Anyhow, I'm sitting in for you and Rankin, probably for the last time today.
Only if he sees the show.
Yeah.
No. Like, I mean, given the shows we've been doing the last, whatever, 2 years or something, no. This is not even the worst we've done.
If I was going to be kicked off from being the interim host for Ewan, it would have happened a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We've done much worse than this.
This is true. Yeah. Anyhow, I said it's Summer of Fun edition, and what that means is that since it's a summer, and it's it tends to be the slow part of the news cycle, so there's not as much interesting stuff to talk about, Patrice came up with the amazing idea that we should pick a topic that we find interesting, and then we just riff on that. And so that's what we're going to do. And the topic today actually came from Patrice, which is, are modern operating system updates boring?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, and my guess is that we all have an opinion.
And we do, but we should do introductions first.
We should. I just haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And thankfully, they will take 3/4 of the show since this is going to be short.
Right. So
because everything else is too boring. So.
Right. So when we get to that part, but you know, by the time we finish everything else, when we get to the part where we hit the topic, it'll be like yes, yes, no, yes, no, and
TSO host.
And you know what isn't boring? TSO host. And then we'll do that part and we'll wrap up.
Yeah. See. Show already done. Can stop now.
Just like that. All right. Well, I'll stop the recording and let's all go hit the bar. All right. Before we hit the bar, yes, Patrice, you're right. We really should do some introductions. So let's start with you, Patrice. Good morning. How are
you? With me. Okay. Yeah. Good morning. I'm doing well. Good afternoon or good day or I don't know, whatever time it is. No, I'm doing good. It's very humid today here. Like expecting some thunderstorms, so that's not so fun, but it's all fine, it's all part of summer. I had to drag a, what was it, like 16 kilo KitchenAid to the UPS store, whatever, 15 minutes from here, with a tram and some walking, so that wasn't fun.
So work on your upper body strength, nice.
That I don't have. But it's fine. I just dragged it downstairs into the tram because the tram stop is right in front of the house. And then from the stop, it was basically across the street. So it wasn't that bad. And I managed. But yeah, I have to exchange it or get it repaired because it showed up and there was a screw loose. So they wanted it back. They finally, after a week, sent me the shipping label. So took only a week. Yeah, apparently my response ended up in their spam folder, and I'm like, that's a really good customer service if they never check their spam folder.
Excuse.
I had to call them and they're like, no, we don't see it. Oh yeah, here it is in their spam folder. I'm like, okay.
But so this is like one person's desk and all the email goes to their
probably to Gmail or something.
Yeah.
Probably Gmail address or something. Yeah, it's KitchenAid in Europe. I don't know what the customer service they have.
Apparently none.
Well, it's Germany, so what do you expect?
Why does it seem like, you know, those kind of things only happen to you? And I don't mean you. I just mean, you know, the individual. Something gets sent to spam, or oh, that never got entered into the system, or mm-hmm. oh yeah, we overlooked mm-hmm. this. It's like that seems to happen a lot.
Yeah,
that's the story you get.
It's totally true. I mean, I called my, like, the old ISP that I canceled with last week to confirm that they had even received the cancellation, or like the contract cancellation. They were like, yeah, we don't know. But I'll enter it in the system now. I'm like, okay. And then they were like, yeah, and we're going to send you an email with like a return label so that you can return it, like the equipment. I'm like, okay. And I waited like half a week, and then I called them again. I'm like, hey, you wanted to send me a return label? And then she's like, okay, I'm sending it now. I'm like, okay, could have done that last week.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and it wasn't my email server. It's my own email server. I can see if someone tries to send an email and gets bounced for some reason. So they never tried. The second email arrived just fine. They just never did.
They just never sent the first.
Yeah, it's probably because it was a Friday. They were like, eh, nah. Right. It's next week's problem. And that never did it.
Yeah, next week's problem. Or it's Friday, and this person who now wants to be a former customer interrupted mm-hmm. our Friday afternoon beer bash.
Oh, we'll yeah. I mean, it's Austria. So. Right. It's Austria. So, yeah, for sure. They're probably sitting somewhere in, like, beer garden. And...
Right. Yep. Running the business from mm-hmm. a laptop with a pitcher of beer beside them.
Mm-hmm. Or three.
Yep.
Not because they've been drinking since 10 or 11, probably. Right?
Yeah.
Yes, that is Austria. So that is happening here.
Excuse me. Yep. Welcome to Austria. Excuse me. Also, welcome to Ben. How are you?
Yep. As an Austrian American, I approve of this message.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. See, Ben, now I'm just picturing all of us sitting around at a table with a drink and just hanging out and doing the show that way. I mean, kind of like when we did In Touch with iOS from Dave's deck,
which Blake is House. Cool.
Yeah, thanks. I wasn't there.
Yeah.
You could have been.
you could have been, yes.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but after that picture, I'm starting to wonder what my great-great-grandmother ever left.
Yeah,
that's a good question. That's a
very valid question. She probably left for love. And if
which
not,
was probably a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
the things we do for love.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Dave, how are you?
I am doing great. It's Friday. Glad to be here. And it's going to start heating up here. So I'll be ready for some 90 degree Fahrenheit temperatures in the next couple of days, just like Ben.
Yeah, Wednesday, the current prediction is 101 yep, with nice. Humidity.
With humidity, so it's like that's, 120 probably at least.
Yeah, and then yeah, before the heat index.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the new Mercury weather, great app, mm-hmm. has it pegged at about 116 for the heat index prediction.
Wow.
I better check Carrot.
Yeah, Carrot will tell you.
You're going to fry meat bag.
Yeah, you're going to fry meat bag, or it's hotter than Alderaan when it got that new moon. That's no moon.
I like that line.
I just made that up. Carrot weather, you're free to use it.
Yes. You're more than welcome to digitize Jeff's brain.
Do you think they'd really want to? just saying.
For that app, yes.
Yeah. Okay. For Carrot Weather, sure. I could totally see that. Could you imagine Carrot Weather where it's just me spouting off?
Yeah. It's like, finally, I never have to wear pants.
Well, you're assuming, maybe you're assuming I'm wearing pants right now.
Outside.
You're assuming I... Anyhow, Chuck, how are you?
I'm good, but I'm questioning what it says about any of us if we value a weather app that talks to us or insults us. And having said that, though, Jeff, I think you've hit on an opportunity here for a revenue stream, because I think you could absolutely rent yourself out as, you know, a voice or a commentator for some of these apps. Just like, I mean, for a while, I forget who you could put on your Waze to give you directions. You know, they were selling celebrity apps or celebrity voices for a while.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, they were doing that. That sort of fell out of favor or something, I think, because the licensing was never long enough. You know, that, but it was, I mean, it's a cute idea. But I just wonder, I mean, I would listen. I'd love to have Jeff Gamma tell me to turn left.
Would be awesome. Okay.
Turn left.
Here, turn left. Turn left. No, wait, right.
Turn left again. You have reached the Lego store. Grow your destination.
There you go. Yes. You can put your destination into your GPS, but I will always take you to a really good place for drinks or a Lego store. Or if there's a new movie out that I think is good, I'll take you to the theater.
Yes.
And when you pull into your parking space right before you turn your car off, I'll say, don't forget the popcorn. Oh. Yeah. And Tom, hey, Tom, in the chat is saying that he would absolutely pay for my snarky comments in his weather app. Okay, yeah. I see an opportunity here. Which weather app is ready to team up?
Yes, and Tom, stick around. We're going to have some work for you after the show.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, apparently Tom is going to have to learn how to code in Swift and then write a weather app so that he can have my snarky comments. Yeah. It'll be great. So, all right. Anyhow, as long as we're here, let's do our topic. I mean, we already set it up. Patrice's idea. Are modern OS updates boring?
Or Chuck?
Yeah.
Oh.
They totally are.
We didn't pick on each other quite as much as maybe.
That's true.
We don't pick on each other all the time or that certain high level, because you need to mix it up a little bit to keep it exciting and interesting. This is how Chuck and I keep the excitement and mystery in our relationship.
Okay. Thanks for sharing that, Jeff.
Okay.
Speaking about mystery and excitement.
Anyhow, and back to the topic.
Yeah, I mean, you know, back in the, I mean, it's not even a macOS thing. I think it's in general a software thing. Like when you remember back in the, let's say, whatever, 90s, 80s, whenever you started with computers, I mean, for the longest time, every major software update, every major OS update brought pretty big features sometimes. I mean, sure, there was like here or there a small update at something, but I mean, usually like whether it was, I don't know, was 7 to 8 or whatever, Windows 95 to 98 or stuff like that. It was always like big. Mm-hmm. There was a big thing that was talked about all the time, and like there were tech talks and whatnot. And these days, it's like, well, there's a new update, we'll install it. Yeah, there's some features, like it's not that there's nothing, but it's like, well, I don't know. It doesn't feel the same. I don't know why, but yeah.
Patrice, I have a theory. And I think that it, to a large degree, and right now we're talking about the Apple world, okay? I can't speak mm-hmm. to that other alien universe. But we'll get to that eventually, I'm sure. But no, not that one, Ben. but I think it's the constant attention that the media gives, especially during the beta periods, especially during open beta periods. You know, we don't have the NDAs that are signed mm-hmm. anymore that mean thing. And so the media is desperate to write about something. And so they pick apart every single feature long before it goes, even for the public beta. You know, they sign up, they tear it apart, they analyze and say, this is good, this is bad. So that by the time you get the finished product, you've already made your decision about, well, that feature is not for me. And I think that's a shame, because I think a lot of good features get overlooked or condemned based on early beta versions. And mm-hmm. there's also, you know, to the point, Apple's going to bring out, we're going to see the next version of Mac OS sometime here, theoretically, relatively soon. It's already, you know, we already know all the features, unless Apple's been able to keep the lid on one.
I'm right.
We already know that. So, exactly. So there's not going to be this, oh boy, I can't wait to get my hands on this and learn about this feature. You know, we've already seen it a dozen times. You know, it's already been, in fact, I think it does a disservice to the rest of the world, because a lot of those articles never get rewritten or updated, you know, after the release is actually out, to bring those features mm-hmm. to people's attention. So I pinned some of this on the media. With all due respect to our friends in the media, I think every time that you're publicizing something about iOS 17, you're doing a disservice to your readers and to Apple. Off my soapbox now.
Yeah, I don't disagree as someone who wrote those articles.
Yeah.
So, Chuck, I agree with you. And at the same time, I disagree with you. I agree that that all of these articles that are out there, they're taking away the surprise and excitement from these features. At the same time, if the readers weren't, or viewers, whoever, weren't interested mm-hmm. in having this information, mm-hmm. then the media wouldn't be presenting it, because they wouldn't be getting the clicks or the views mm-hmm. for that.
Right. Jeff, that's a very fair point. I guess to go back though and to put a little finer point on it though, it's the evaluation of the feature, as opposed to say, hey, here it is. It's evaluating this works really well or this doesn't work well, and you're still in beta. That's mm-hmm. I think that's the part of it that really, because I find myself doing it. I find myself dismissing a feature because somebody writes an article that I read and it's like, oh yeah, it's too bad. Well, that's not really what I would like it to do, or that's not what I thought it would do. When in fact, it may do exactly what I want, or it may do it well after we hit the release mm-hmm. version. So,
yep. I agree with you on that. Yep. Another place where I see the boring thing being a thing now, I think it's a side effect of where we are in development. If you look back at way back when we went from System 6 to System 7 for the Mac, we were talking about not just, hey, here's this cool new thing. We're talking about fundamental changes and improvements to the foundation of the operating system that bring in new functionality, and not just new functionality but new functionality in a way that we had never had before. And then we get to system 7.5 and 7.6, and the same thing is happening. We get to system 8, we get to system 9. It's like these major leaps forward in what you can do with the operating system. And where we are today, it's matured in a sense, and and we don't get those major leaps forward anymore, because that's we're at a point where with the technology we have today, where it's not about some major change to the way we can use the operating system. It's about what can they do to just like build out a feature set, improve an element. The other side of that, though, is we're about to have that, hey, here's a major change thing again. And we can have that not boring update. And that's called Vision OS.
I see that's something I'm kind of wondering about. I mean, we've had like, sure, Vision OS is a new thing, but we've had, I mean, since, let's say, the 90s, we've had major things happen. Like, I mean, iOS was a big thing, iPad OS. We had the Apple Watch with WatchOS, with the Apple TV with tvOS. We have HomePods and so on. And still, I don't know, it still doesn't feel like even there, it's not progressing as much. And what I'm wondering is how much, and I think the answer is probably both, but how much is us just getting used to things changing and constantly evolving, and so it's not a big deal anymore if there's new OS update, because it happens every year. And how much of it is that the starting point for those new platforms is so much more advanced these days? I mean, iPhone OS shipped with no copy and paste would not, I mean, no system today would do that. Like, I'm pretty sure Vision OS will have some way of doing that. And because it's built on top of something that is already quite mature. And I think that's the big difference. I mean, in the early days, there was nothing. That's not true. There were some things, but a lot of times you had to completely reinvent new operating systems. These days, they're built on top of existing code bases. Nobody starts from completely zero anymore. At least.
Go ahead, Ben. Sorry.
I was going to say, I've been on the Mac and other Apple platforms since the early days of System 7. I saw the basically System 8, the original System 8, aka Copeland, fail because it couldn't get the Mac to where it wanted to go. I saw the excitement of choosing between Next Step and BOS to be the next Mac operating system. The one thing I've found over these years, everything ebbs and flows. There were a couple times when we thought Mac OS was completely mature. Then something happens, usually something coming over from another system, and it makes everything feel new again. The same thing happened with iOS. After, we spent the first couple years building up the skeuomorphic design, it started to feel old. Then we got iOS 7, iOS 8, which introduced more things. It's, I think, every few years, maybe half decade, we get to the point where we take that leap that we can build on future steps.
What happens when those leaps are under the hood? Do people see those as boring? For example, when Apple changed the whole file system, that was a big thing. And from a technical standpoint, it was crazy what they did, but like on iOS, where they did it without telling anyone as a test and then rolled it back. And none of us knew they had actually done that. But then when Craig Federighi tells us at WWDC after the fact, yeah, we did this, then those of us that get what that means, we're like, holy crap, that's amazing.
Yeah, they're like, thank God we got this right. Everybody would have been pissed.
And that takes us to somewhere that I was thinking about as you all were talking, that back in the BOS days and back in the Next Step days, the installed base was not like it is now. Computing was not as ubiquitous as it is now.
True.
Yeah. And so it was a lot. I mean, it was still a bet.
This has probably more processing power than a computer back then. My Apple Watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my iPhone 12 Pro Max has more processing power than my last Intel Mac.
Yes.
Is actually still supported.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And my point is though that they were still bet the company moves, but now the companies are so much bigger. And so just like anyone, they're going to be a little more hesitant to make some of those big moves. They almost, just by the very nature of things, have to slow down a little bit, be a bit more incremental, as opposed to saying, hey, we're going to just revise everything. The example about the file system is a great one, because that was incredibly dangerous. That's an incredibly dangerous thing. And if the press had been told about it, I'm sure that they would have been tearing it apart. So, you know, I look at that. And Patrice, one other thing you said that I thought was interesting, because it jarred something right away in my mind, was that you said that the first iteration didn't ship with copy and paste. Well, we've just seen Meta launch Threads without a lot of very basic features. Copy and paste, copy and paste, not one of them. Now, I'm not about to start taking lessons from Meta. That's not what we want to do. But, you know, there is this... In certain aspects of the market, there still can be a little more of that Wild West feel, a little bit, hey, we're going to throw it out there and, you know, and see what happens and move it fast. But when we're talking about mainstream OSs, I don't think anybody in their right mind in any of the universes can really do those major changes and not risk severe financial complications.
You're right, because we rely so much on those machines working these days. I mean, back in the 90s, I mean, sure, there were plenty of people using computers for work and whatnot, but a lot of this of our society was still built around, let's say, analog systems, analog things, and it would still work. There were still backup plans for if something didn't work. You could still go to a bank and do a bank transfer in like a, let's say, normal old-fashioned way, while these days that's getting more and more rare, actually, that you can still do that. So you're right, like we're relying more on it. And I think the only time you can do a big shift is basically when you introduce a new device. I mean, what the Apple did with Apple Silicon, they changed quite a few things under the hood when they introduced Apple Silicon. What they're doing now with Vision and Vision OS and Vision Pro and so on. I think you're right. It's the only time they can even do that, because other times it's not possible.
But think about it. What they did with Apple Silicon is they took one machine, and it wasn't even a desktop. It was one machine, and they put it in, and they said, this is the future, but we're going to make it a 2-year transition. And it's turned out to be a little more than 2 years, but they did it gradually. They did it so well that we were all chomping at the bit to get our hands on an M series machine, as opposed to saying, saying, hey, we're going M series, and here next year Intel's gone.
Yeah, I mean, there was even a machine before the machine, because they shipped the iPad as a developer machine.
True. Right. Yeah.
Sure. That Mac Mini, wasn't it? Or I thought it was a Mac.
No,
Mini.
No, it was a Mac Mini chassis, but inside it was basically an A series iPad
processor, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they just put the iPad in a Mac Mini, basically.
Yeah.
Dave, I have a question for you. Since you come into this from the the corporate support side.
Yep.
Would you want updates rolling out for operating systems that were not boring?
That's a good question.
That's a really good question.
It's never boring because what I deal with on a daily basis is, you know, patch Tuesdays from Microsoft. That's all you do, patches. But in the corporate world, always testing. You can't just roll it out and say, hey, let's do it and see what happens. And there's plenty of times things have rolled out and then we've crashed and burned and had to back it out. And so you got to be real careful. That's why I say I got into the Apple world a lot later. So you guys have more experience going system subs. Because I wasn't involved. I didn't start until later, 2006. So I can't comment as much on the old stuff. But I mean, I saw, obviously now I've been in the Apple world for as long as I have now. I definitely see I see how the operating systems have evolved. I mean, there's still banks and other people out there still using Windows XP for crying out loud because there are systems, they just don't have the resources to rewrite their systems. It's the same thing with Internet Explorer, that people had everything written and coded within Internet Explorer and the systems wouldn't work unless you had that browser. Well, they had to abandon it. It got to a point where it was just like when Internet Explorer was on the Mac back in the old days. I remember that. And having that compatibility on a Mac, which was crazy with IE as it was. So, I mean, it's just funny because a lot of companies stay on OSs for a longer period than normal. I think on Mac, I think I see that they evolve more quickly because Apple changes things so often and the OS, especially with security. Security is the biggest thing of all in the corporate world that you gotta keep secure, and you're not gonna stay secure when you're using an operating system like Windows XP or even going up as they went, Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows 8 by far the worst operating system in the world, right next to it was Windows ME. It is something that it's never a dull moment when it comes to operating system upgrades. But I think everything's evolving into the web. I mean, Patrice can say it firsthand, being the developer and programmer as you are, OS is, everything is going web-based. And companies have always sat in sandboxes and just put their applications in one place. And it's always either homegrown apps or apps that are so customized that it's near impossible to scale it the way it should be. When you have 10 or 15 applications to do your job, some companies just do that and it becomes so inefficient and it takes all this time to finally, hey, you got to consolidate all these applications into maybe one or two and put them web-based. So, you're not dependent on a laptop. I deal with it all the time. Yeah. Laptops are too slow. The things are not processing. Well, a lot of times is whoever coded the applications did a very poor job, and I see Patrice smiling about that because she knows them. She's dealing with it all the time. And we wonder why our machines are so slow. Oh, well, let's the fixes. Let's add more RAM to the machine. What's that going to do? Okay, let's bump up the processor because working with a company like Lenovo or Dell and trying to come up with a machine that's going to meet the needs of the corporate world. Yeah, we can. They have machines that are the standard level for most standard users are fine, but then they have the high level machines that are really beefed up in laptops. Yes. And then, yeah, they help. They do see improvements. They can put them at 32, 64 gigs, sometimes even 128 gigs of RAM. It's just such overkill. It really is. And even I even see it too with Macs too now with the M2 processors. Oh yeah, I got to have this Max or M2 Ultra processor on my Macs because I'm doing all this intensive stuff. And I look at the person, I say, what are you doing? Okay, you're doing Photoshop. I see that. Okay.
Your CPU load is like, whatever, is at 1% all the time.
Well, just like people have such a mindset of memory and RAM. I say, what? 8 gigs of RAM on an M2 processor is more than sufficient for most people. I mean, if you're seriously empowered, I understand like you're doing some serious Final Cut editing and video editing and doing a lot of that hardcore stuff. Yeah.
Running Xcode.
Xcode's the other one. Yeah, there's no one. Yeah. So, 16 and 32 gigs of RAM is probably a good thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Macs are expensive, but you know, we know all this. The return on investment on a Mac is huge. I mean, even when you're selling them, even the Intels, you're still getting money back on them. So
yeah,
but the thing is that they think that, oh yeah, you got to have this much RAM. So you know, you look at a MacBook Air versus a MacBook Pro. MacBook Air, the max on it right now is only 24 gigs of RAM. So I can't do that. That's not enough RAM. I got to have 32 at least. I mean. The Air is a perfectly good machine, M2, and why wouldn't it be enough? So yeah, I those are a lot of the pain points I see in my world when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you. I mean, the Mac Mini I got here,
yeah,
I bought a more or less baseline Mac Mini. The only thing I did was I upgraded the RAM, because that was the one thing. Because it's running a server, I knew that all the server applications that I'm about to run will need 32 gigs of RAM.
Right.
But I did not do a Mac Studio, whatever, like do an M2, what is it, Max, I think, the next level up CPU, because I was like, the CPU is going to be bored 99% of the time anyway. And it is. Like, even now, like, it's basically idling at 5-6% because, I mean, some stuff is a little bit more CPU intensive. But even then, it goes up to whatever, 10-15%. It's bored. But I knew that for my server. Like, I have a Linux server, and it's the same thing. Like, it has a ridiculous amount of CPU and RAM, and it's just bored most of the time.
And what's unique in my role, too, is, I mean, as much as we all complain about Microsoft and Windows, I get to see both worlds. That's unique. You don't see someone who is working in both worlds and understands both worlds, because... there's obviously a dramatic difference, you know, Patrice. I don't know. I think you are doing mostly Mac, but you have Windows too. You have to. In the corporate world, Windows is Windows. You know, you're more Mac, right?
I'm 100% on Mac. I support our IT department with Mac stuff and whatever. Yeah. Whenever it comes to Windows, I'm like, yeah, I can use it, but I hate it and I really don't want to. So I'm in the lucky position. I don't have to.
Yeah, I'm at a point now. I wish I didn't have to, but I mean, I'm in the twilight of my career. Yeah, but your role is different.
Yeah,
my role is different, and the company I work for. Well, luckily, I'm seeing an uptick, and we're going to see probably. I mean, I think I see a future with Macs now, whereas before it was like, oh yeah, I got to know everything Windows and have to understand all its intricate things that needs to be done to make it to work right. Oh yeah, I know this fix, and I know this fix, and I got to do this. And it's always something, you know, same with hardware. I'm dealing with hardware. I just had one the other day where, you know, all of a sudden the screen goes out on a Windows machine and they're plugged in. I'm like, okay, what's the deal? Well, it turns out it's a Dell dock. The Dell dock had a firmware upgrade that hadn't been run, because, you know, that's another whole animal. You can't get all those updates, you know, the BIOS updates, and, you know, and you know, we don't deal with BIOS updates on Macs as often as you do on a PC. That's what fixed it.
But we deal with firmware upgrades in our like MagSafe charging things and our cables and so on.
Yeah, I mean, it's completely transparent on the Mac.
Oh, Dell, Lenovo, HP, constant BIOS updates. If I, well, this improves performance, or this fixes this, or, but as soon as, you know, but Dell also has updates to the firmware to their actual docking stations. So the dock, you know, I knew it right away as soon as that happened. Oh, let's check. Oh, yeah, sure enough. It has a firmware update needed. And so, as soon as I installed it, boom, the display came back. So those are the kind of quirky things you deal with, but and the frustration too.
I want it read into the record that I was not the first person to mention the M word.
Okay. Well, I live in the world. I have to. I mean, and you and I always have good, fun conversations, jokes about it. But
oh yeah,
it's frustrating. But I, you know, it's the world of in the corporate world. Everything is office.
Yeah, which
is fine. I don't have a problem.
I mean, Office on the Mac is not as as bad, but I mean, it has. Mm-hmm. I think I've seen Microsoft do a much better job improving.
Yes,
things that they're famous for making tons of changes all the time, as we know. So I mean, you know, all of a sudden you open up Outlook and it's like, what the hell they do now? I mean, they added this print. You know, I just went into Outlook the other day, because got to live in Outlook on the corporate on the work side, and you know, you just go into. you just go into the up into the settings where you look at things, and they change the visuals in the general section. Mm-hmm. There's themes now, there's density preferences, and I mean, they just do this stuff, and a lot of times they don't even tell you. Nope. There's plenty of times like, okay, we need this fixed, you know, like in Teams is another one. I know it's another dirty word for you, Mike.
It is.
you want to be able to do things and only way you can get done is if you start going to the Microsoft's communities and everybody starts saying, yeah, we need this. And then when they end up having a million people saying, yeah, why don't you have this? You need to add this. And that gets their attention. Mm-hmm. But meanwhile, we all suffer because it's a feature or
yep.
that they need to make things more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
It still feels like
so that's not boring.
No, yeah,
those are not boring updates. Yeah.
No,
it still feels like we are in an evolution, and I mean maybe that's just going to be the way it always is, but you know we not just the computing side but the user side. You know, of how we're using our machines and what capabilities. I mean, for better or worse, during the pandemic, collaboration became, you know, before the pandemic, it had a capital C on it. After mm-hmm. the pandemic, it was all caps, you know, that collaboration was the buzzword. And it's the buzz phrase, and it still is, because, you know, it's better to get a bunch of points of view on things than just your own. Most of the time. That's another mm-hmm. discussion too.
Yeah, I'm just picturing meetings where there's always the one person that wants to share all the time, and they're the one person that really should not be sharing.
Well, I'm plenty of those in meetings. I was like, what are you wasting my time? God.
Yeah.
Well, and there's some projects, at least I think, and maybe you all don't agree with me, that you need to have somebody that's doing it. And I mean, almost like Apple makes the whole widget, you know, one person is going to do it. So they're the person that should make the decisions and then accept feedback from the users, but mm-hmm. don't design things by committee, you know?
No.
Try it.
Never works.
Try it. Yeah. Try it. And then take feedback and say, you know, that's a good mm-hmm. point. Or you're an idiot and you need to learn how to use it. One of the two, but you know.
I thought that's what you were actually saying when you'd say, oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, so thank you for your input. Sharing.
Thank you for your input
means you're an idiot.
Yep, pretty much. Bringing it back to OS updates. So there's one aspect that I, as a engineering manager, basically, I'm managing teams that build things. That I really appreciated Apple finally did. You know, they were coming from, I think the entire industry was coming from those Big Bang updates. Every, whatever, 2 years, 3 years, Windows case, I think it was 7 years, there would be a Big Bang update, OS update, Mac OS update with like a million features and nothing worked on day one. And as time progressed, and as I think also the updates, I mean, the teams got bigger, the software got more complex, had more features and so on, more and more stuff broke all the time. And it took, I mean, sometimes months and sometimes probably a year for it to settle. And then Apple switched to that yearly update cycle. And that wasn't great, but it was better. But what they're doing now is they're basically, what I hope they would be doing is they still want the marketing event and which is stepped up, but they announce, oh, this is all of what is coming. But that's basically a roadmap announcement. It's like, oh yeah, we have basically over the next, well, let's say 8-9 months, we have these things coming. And then they roll them out step by step as they are ready. And there might be a beta where there is this features in and then it gets removed again because they realize, it's still not great. It's not ready. Let's push it out a little bit more. And then eventually it ships to customers and it actually works with some exceptions, like what is called Stage Manager, for example. Still doesn't work. But usually it works pretty well. And I think that's the smarter approach. And like people have said, oh, they should go back to the old way of every 2 years update. And I said it back then. I don't believe that's the answer, because that just increases the amount of changes in one point and makes it more difficult to get them right. If you have smaller changes, smaller increments, smaller batches, it's easier to test them because you can look at the individual thing and say, okay, we changed this one thing. Does that still work? Okay, fine. Do the next one. So yeah, I think that's one area where a little bit boring maybe, because it's not the big update where every 2 years you get like a massive list of new things and everything changed.
Yeah.
But I think it's better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm okay with less exciting annual updates. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't really thought about it as here's the roadmap over the next several months. But you point that out and it's something that I clearly see now. And I actually do like that too. I'm okay getting the new things, excuse me, rolled out in increments. And
when they're ready.
When they're ready. Yeah. I need my machine to work reliably.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need a circus fanfare thing happening every year or every other year where I have to deal with figuring out how to do something the new way, or having to figure out how to work around something that's changed in a fundamental way. I
mean, that still happens. That still happens, but it happens not as a big bang where you have to change everything and rework everything at once, and it's like a big mess. But it's like, okay, every whatever 3 months or something, you get a new, like a small new thing where it's like, oh, okay, I guess I have to change that, but it's a small change. You do it and then it's fine.
Exactly. Yes.
Just like what they did with Ventura and system preferences versus system settings and noise the heck out of me. Where the heck are the listing? Oh, okay. I just got to go down here to view to see the whole list. And it was always a pain to try to find that. That's just one of many examples that Apple changed something drastically in the OS, and just people get extremely frustrated with it.
Yeah, but that approach was still better than what Microsoft did, where, like, no matter how, like, if you dig deep enough, you will probably find dialogues that are from Windows 3.1 or something. Like,
probably.
So, and sometimes it's better you just change it all than to do what Microsoft does.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just change. That's the tough part.
Yeah, well, and, you know, the other thing, though, about some of what we're talking about is, I love it when Apple or any developer says, we thought we were going to launch this. It's not ready. It'll be ready in a few months. Oh. I think that's great. And if memory serves, I think Kyle Swiger said on the news show that the feature that is supposed to be coming in the OS that is like a journaling system. I forgot what
the
it's
journal
called.
App. Right. It's journal app.
The journal. Yeah. It's not going to be ready. So it's not
going to, and it's like, be ready.
Yeah. And it's like, great. I have no problem with that, because I'd rather have you ship something that is 95% functional than 45% just to be able to say, oh yeah, we hit our date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was the problem with the Big Bang. I mean, it was basically you had to have it ready by, let's say, September. I think it was not September back then, but let's say September, because that's what we have it now, or actually beginning of October usually. Instead, it's like, okay, and then if you didn't hit that, then it was like, okay, well, then we ship it in 2 years or 3 years or however long when the next release comes. So basically, if you miss the window, then you're screwed. So either you ship something or you don't.
Yeah.
And now they can just say, well, it's not ready this month, but maybe next month. Like, okay.
No, and Apple was very open about it with iOS 17. You know, when they announced the features at WWDC, you know, the same thing with the AirDrop over the internet. That was a huge announcement. But they say they're not ready, and I'm glad they're waiting, because people are going to have an extremely bad experience if that thing wasn't ready and not working the way it's the way they've announced it as how to work.
And there are features that in the keynote, they say it's coming, whatever, later this fall, it's coming spring next year or something. Like they're pretty open and saying, okay, these things we think we can ship in September, some things will still not make it, and that's fine. But and these things will for sure not make it and will come at a later date. And sometimes that later date gets shifted and then it comes to the next OS version. Also has happened in the past where they just realized, yeah, it wasn't working. And then at some point you reach the point where it's like, okay, let's just push it because it's already whatever April. Let's just push it into the next OS, which is fine. Oh. Like
versus Microsoft that doesn't do that.
Well, they've started doing it more and more. You see it not with the operating systems as much, but I think with 11, they're doing a little bit more of it. But with their software, they're doing that a little bit more. That's why you get so many updates all the time and sometimes something breaks and whatever. But they're doing it more and more that they're rolling out things as they're ready. Yep, it's just an industry thing. I think we're just, as a software industry, we're just maturing to the point where we're really realizing stuff is too complicated to just do a big bang. It's just like it's just not working anymore.
And at the risk of
that, oh, go ahead, Chuck.
No, please, Jeff, go.
I think part of that, Patrice, is also a side effect of companies moving more into subscription models, mm-hmm. where they don't need to have a big bang to get you to give the money every 2 years. You're paying for all along, so they just keep dropping new features.
Mm-hmm.
On a regular basis.
Adobe did that very successfully. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like people would even skip generations and whenever update every 6 years and spend $1,000 every 6 years or something. And they just switched to a subscription and now everybody gets the latest and greatest as long as they need it. And if they don't need it anymore, then they stop the subscription.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jeff, go back to...
Well, no, I'm going to, Jeff, you took the comment right out of my mouth because that's exactly what I was going to say. And I know that people don't like subscription models and we could have a whole show on that. That may be the next one. But at the end of the day, think about it, you know, that there was pressure to get this feature rolled out in some capacity so that we can say, hey, we have this feature. And it may not work. You know, the subtitle is, it may not work yet, but we're going to roll it out so you pay for the upgrade. And as it is now, the developers are getting paid in a steady stream. And so they can wait until something is actually ready to go. And I feel like, you know, if I really stop and think about it, the subscription software that I pay for, I don't remember right now off the top of my head having any significant major crashing issues with it or something that renders it unusable. And I think that may have something to do with the fact that they're no longer running that 100-yard dash to get to a release that they can charge for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I can tell you, for developers, it's really frustrating sometimes because they want to ship it. They want it to get ready. They wanted to have it in like as early as possible. And then at some point they get told, oh, no, not going to happen. Yeah. They hate that because they want it ready. On the other hand, they probably also like it because they don't have to ship something they don't feel comfortable with shipping. So,
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. The entire app store is built on that model. Every app out there, there's very few apps that do big major releases. Most apps are just a constant stream of small updates, and then there's a bigger update with some features and there's a little small updates. It's a constant stream of updates.
It's not a bad thing
again, also means. Boring, but it's kind of boring because you constantly get updates, so you're like, well, so another update, okay.
Yeah, but to go back to one of the questions that somebody asked Dave early on, you know, would you rather be boring or would you rather be exciting with everything on fire? Mm-hmm. I'll take boring every time.
Yeah. Lately it's been like that where it's been exciting and it's just exciting to a point some stress starts increasing a little bit. But then it becomes a boring, but then that means you can move that your focus on something that you haven't been able to look at for a while and get things that hadn't been done at that point. So I would take boring in some cases, but it's not boring because we're all passionate about technology. So,
yep. Also not boring, but in a really good way, TSO hosts. And what makes them exciting as opposed to boring is that they offer really solid web hosting service, and they make it easy for people to buy domain names. So why am I bringing this up? not simply because I like coming up with clever transitions to talk about Tio Sohos, although that's a nice bonus. It's because they're taking what they do and giving back to the community by providing those services to the British Tech Network. And what that means is that they're giving us the bandwidth that we need so we can live stream shows every single week. They're giving us the hosting space we need so there's a place for the survey website says, to live.
These clouds foretell your death by...
yay, Siri. and then, excuse me, and then they're also giving us the server space we need so that all the show files have a place to live, excuse me, so you can watch or listen at your leisure and hear Siri make little cameos like that. This is great because...
It wasn't Siri, by the way.
Oh, it was Carrot.
It was Carrot, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it threw me because it wasn't my voice. So I just assumed it was Siri. Anyhow, what it takes to do what we do, the resources for that are beyond what we would be able to manage. So TSO Host is very generously providing us with all of that so we can be here for you, which is awesome. So what you can do to show some appreciation is just go out on social media and thank TSO Host for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. Simple as that. And if you need to buy domain names or you need some web hosting, why not use them for that too? Because they're giving you a discount because you're a VTN family member. So what you would do is just get your domain names, throw them in your cart, add your hosting package, then add the discount code BTN20 and get 20% off your order, which is pretty generous. So thank you, TSO Host, for being here and supporting us. And Patrice, speaking of support, can you support me, please, and tell people where to find the chat?
Of course I can. So we have a really awesome live chat where we post, like usually we post if we talk about news stories, we post news stories. If we talk about cool things, we put them there as well. And we have like awesome people sometimes in the chat room. Not so much today. Well, I saw Tom, so Tom is there. Tom is awesome, and we're there. We're pretty awesome, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Full of awesome people. And if you want to join that, we like join our live chat, you can do that while we're recording. I mean, the chat is always there, but usually it's dead when we're not recording. Dead in the sense of nobody's doing anything talking. And in order to do that, you head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com and you're in. That's how easy it is. No big deal. Can do that. But let's say you are listening to this after the fact in the recorded form of a podcast. That's why we record this. That's why we post this. That's what podcasts are for. Totally fine. You can still get to the transcript of the chat. The live chat itself, well, you can go in, but you're not going to see what we talked about. Doesn't work that way. But you can still see the transcript and see the links and everything that was talked about. And in order to do that, you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. Then there's a little calendar that pops up. You have to select the date, and you select the date as we are recording this. So, for example, for today, for this Mac show, it is the 18th of August, 2023. August 18th, 2023. And if you put that into the calendar, you will see everything that we talked about in the chat.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that. And now it's time to tell people where they can find you. And Patrice, you're on a roll, so why don't you start us off?
Okay, but before I do that, I'll talk about the news show, because I wanted to do that.
Yes, please.
So, news show. We haven't talked about it in a while, and some people might have assumed it's dead. It's not. It's still there. It's still going strong. Carl is still posting 5 days a week. The only difference is, well, we switched over to Patreon. So Kyle has a Patreon set up for that. And the second thing is that the free edition of the news show is only one article. It's about a minute every day. But you still get it. 5 days a week, you get Kyle's awesome voice for 1 minute, or a little bit more probably. And if you want the full edition, 5 days a week, except for if something happens and there's a storm in the Philippines and he can't do it, but usually he posts 5 days a week, then all you have to do is head over to Patreon and give us at least $1. At least, I say. So if you can give more, it's totally fine, but at least $1. And then you get it 5 days a week. If you give more than $5, you even get the very special subscriber-only weekend edition of the show. So you get 6 days a week even. And if you think about it, it's like it's like 6 days a week, like for a month. So that's 24 shows, 24 episodes of the new show. And all you need to do is pay at least $5. So that's quite cheap per episode if you really think about it. It's not a lot. So you can give more, give 20, give 50, like really appreciate it for sure, 100%. But the minimum is for the weekend show, at least it's $5 or $1 for everything. So just head over to britishtechnetwork.com and click on the news show and listen to it. As I said, you get one minute, one article per day you get for free. Every day, don't ask for anything else. But if you want, you can support us.
Awesome. Thanks for telling people about that. Now tell us about you, Patrice. Where can
people
find you?
No, me. Okay. You can find me every week here on the Mac Show on Fridays, on the Big Show on Thursdays, if you're into the non-Apple side of things. And yes, we're also doing Summer of Fun there. So yesterday we talked about a really fun topic. And if you want to know what it is, you will have to wait for the recorded episode and then have a look at that. And you can find out everything like I'm doing, all the social media links, the podcast, the projects, literally everything on my website, thepatrice.com. And if you want to listen to really cool people talk about food related stories and memories and just everything that goes with that, I have an interview show called Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com. That's also a podcast, by the way.
Awesome. All right, Ben, where can people find you?
Well, on Tuesday nights, you can find me on an Orange Show, Mac Voices with Chuck Joyner. On Thursday nights, you can find me on the Guy in Blue Show, In Touch with iOS with Dave Ginsberg. On Thursday and Friday mornings, you can find me on the guy with whatever color shirt you're wearing, Jeff. Here on the British Tech Network. The Mac and Big Shows, because obviously you're watching the Mac Show right now. You can find me on social media at Ben Rathig on your social media of choice, and there's way too much choice. And lastly, you can find me on Rathig.tech.
Awesome. All right. And Dave, where can people find you?
You can find me at In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com. YouTube channel is youtube.com/intouchwithios. I am on Mac Voices Live every Tuesday night, well, except for next week because Chuck has to go to a concert, but that's usually on Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern. And you know, I'm also here on the Mac Show on Fridays, and I'm on Mastodon at Dave G65. Great job, Jeff.
Awesome. Awesome. And our resident frequent concert goer, Chuck, yes. Where can people find you?
Well, Dave already did the advertisement for Mac Voices Live on Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time that is wherever you are. That's on that's on youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. The rest of the time, you can always find me at MacVoices.com, where you'll see all the interviews and posts and everything that we put out there to make you a better you in the Apple universe. And on the socials, you can find me at Chuck Joyner on all the socials.
I like that, to make you a better you.
Yeah, also at Mac Voices.
Yeah, on some of the major ones. I'm not as inclined to do that on some of the minor ones, Ben. So I'm sort of sliding away from that, except you can find me there on Facebook and Twitter. I think that's it. Yeah, X. Excuse me, X. How could I? I'm sorry. Sorry, Elon.
Yes. Twitter will finally be called X right after the Ram pickups are stopped being called Dodge.
I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, that this checks out.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. I'm Jay Gamut on all the socials. The ones I'm most active on right now are Mastodon and Instagram. And shows. This is going to sound really familiar. Tuesdays on Chuck's Mac Voices Live. Thursdays on Dave's In Touch with iOS. Then here on Thursdays for the big show. Here on Fridays for the Mac show. Then also Brian Chaffin and I do the Context Machine. And then I sometimes show up on other shows too. You never know.
It's like we all just go on each other's shows.
We're the pod pack. Just
oh, I like that.
I want yeah, a t-shirt I really like that.
All right. Yeah, well, yeah. We can make that happen. All right.
Do we get the cool Rat Pack suits?
We've already got it going on. Yeah. Well, I guess that means we should just wrap up the show. So thank you, everyone, for being here. Also, getting to do shows with all of you every week is an absolute treat. And I genuinely look forward to this. So thank you. Yes, everyone that's here watching, listening live, participating in the chat. Thank you for being here. You are all awesome. I'm choked up because you're so awesome. Also, I have allergies. Everyone that tunes in and watches or listens to the recordings later, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. You are awesome, too. Hey, Ewan, thank you just for being you. Muller, yeah. Thanks for making sure we have people for shows. Also, feel better soon. And TSO host, thank you for being here and supporting us. And yeah. Don't forget to tune in next Thursday for the big show. Join us on Friday for the Mac show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.